everybody, and we live. Happy Monday. Today, I will answer a question I get all the time. So let's get into it. Hello, Christian here. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show, and I'm really excited to share a little bit of my personal story. A question I get all the time is that, Christian, you know, how did you start a restaurant at 19? And today I will go through it, what we actually did to get it done, and some of my key learnings around that. So for me, as you guys know, I grew up in the hotel industry. My parents owned the hotel for almost 60 years. So I've been in the hotel industry all my life. And never wanted to be in the food industry. So for me, I wanted to do something else. I did a few different things. I went to medical school for a little bit and realized I wasn't made for that. And then I was in sales a little bit and really wasn't utilized for that, what I wanted to. But food for me was always my dad said as I was younger, hey, Christian, if you become a chef, you will always have work because there's always people which want to eat. There's always people which want to be served. And if you go into the hospitality industry, you will always have a job. And at the time, I didn't appreciate it then. And now I think back, it was amazing what I was able to do and the different places I was able to see, all because of the power of food. And I get the question often, Christian, what inspired you to start your first restaurant? And for me, I never really had planned to start my first restaurant at 19. And the people which know my story. I finished, I was working in my apprenticeship and I finished a shift. I went out with my motorcycle. In Austria, you can drive a motorcycle with 16 and you can drive a car until you're 18. So I was out with my motorcycle and on my way back, I was hit by a guy who ran a red light and I broke both arms. I broke my second vertebrae. I had one of those four things, you know, in my my upper body. I was in the hospital for, you know, almost a month. And on our drive home from the hospital, we got hit by a drunk driver straight on. And back in the hospital we were. And for me, I was there for a very long time. Had to learn to walk again, to talk again. And if you know my story during that process, for me, I was 56% handicapped. And in Austria, when you're handicapped, you will not get a job, or it's difficult to get a job because we unionized, or all the jobs at the time was unionized, and nobody will hire you because you're 56% handicapped. And I had a choice to make. And my choice was to retire as a 19-year-old, or do something else. And for me, I was bothered by, I didn't want to let my family down. I didn't want to let my parents down. My dad invested in me to do the culinary school, and they always wanted me to stay in there. And it was really hard for me to honestly say, hey, I want to retire. I didn't know what that would look like. And I made the choice that said, you know what? I break out and do something on my own. And the whole restaurant idea was never thought about it. And I had a really good friend who had multiple restaurants at the time, and I worked for him for a little bit. And then he said, Christian, hey, why don't you start your own? I give you one of my spaces and see if you could do it on your own. It's a small space. If it doesn't work, no harm, no foul. And if it works, let's partner, do something else. And for me, the challenge was at the time, I had no idea what it would take to run a restaurant. I had no idea how to even plan it out. And for me, as I started, I realized I was very limited in what I could do. I didn't have financial backing. I didn't have a lot of money in my bank. So I was really grassroots. How can we make it inexpensive? How can we make it a good experience for our customers? And how can I do it consistently in a way which provides an amazing service, not to just the customers frequent our place? Also, how can we become an intricate part of the community? And it was hard because every time I felt I had a really good idea and I spoke to somebody, they came back and said, I don't think you should do this. You should do something else. And it was really hard because I respected some of those people which told me to do something totally different. I respected the people which came to me and said, hey, Christian, are you sure you want to do this? You sure you don't want to travel, do something else? Why do you want to do this? And for me, I learned that it's great to share what I wanted to do with my friends, but my friends wasn't me. They didn't have the challenge I had. They didn't have the drive I had. So I started looking at some of the local places, what made them successful. And you probably heard it said that success leaves clues. And at the time, I just didn't know that. I just went to local places which were successful and said, hey, how do you do it? Where do you buy your product? How does it work with invoicing? How do you do all of that? And I had a really good friend of mine who said, Christian, I can help you with that. Just you come up with the steps it takes to do this. And as I was sitting there trying to do my menu, I knew I loved Wiener Schnitzel. And for me, I always had this unique way of how making mine a little bit different. So a regular Wiener Schnitzel is breaded. And I liked the turkey cutlet version of it. And when I did my egg wash, I always added 3 or 4 different types of mustard into my egg yolks. And it just, every time it gave it some earthiness when you ate it. So that was my thing. And the restaurant at the time said 56 people, 54, but we could squeeze in 56 without the patio open. And so I said, hey, I do a place and we do some other stuff, but I focus on just Wiener Schnitzel. And the restaurant was called Schnitzelack, which is translates corner restaurant schnitzel. And for me, I had a location because somebody offered it up to me. And he said, if you can make it successful, I become your landlord. And he gave me 3 months for free. I needed very little financial investment because for me, I did most of that stuff, if not everything, myself. So I went to my local meat guy and said, hey, I want to do this. Can you cut this for me every day? He said, okay, if you want it, be here 4:30 in the morning to pick it up and you pay me in cash. And so I went to the meat market 4:30 in the morning every day, got my stuff, went to the produce market, bought my produce. And then some of the other stuff I got from a distributor at the time was at the restaurant by 8:39. And we opened up at 11:15, 11:30 service was. And for me, it worked out great. But where the challenge was on the menu, I didn't have a lot of kitchen space. I didn't have all of the equipment I needed. So we really needed to cut back. And my cold side was really small. If I did the cold side, I had no place, you know, the cold side where I do salads. If I did salads inside the kitchen, I had no room to do the desserts. So out of default and out of necessity, I said, hey, how about I bring the salad bar outside into the restaurant? And this is now, you know, 30 years ago. And at the time, nobody had a salad bar up front. This all came, you know, from the kitchen. So for me, I made my 6 staple salads every day. I had the green lettuce out there and I had the toppings out there. And we had 2 dressings at the time. And so I put my salad bar out there. And food coming from the restaurant, salad bar, main out there, and the dessert came from the kitchen. So that's how we designed our menu. The next thing I needed staff, and staffing was really hard because I had no idea what we actually needed. So I did the kitchen completely by myself. And for the front of the house, I had a friend of mine who helped me. And then we had a waiter helping us. And it took a lot of work for me to get them to buy into the concept of the salad bar, because they said, we don't do salad bars like this. We need somebody who makes it for them. And I says, no, we don't have the staff. We don't can do what we need to do. So location I got. Funding was because I paid with the sales from the day before. I bought my stuff for the following day. My staff at the time, we paid biweekly. And the tips all went to the front of the house. I was the front guy, only guy in the back with the dishwasher. George, most amazing guy. I talk about him all the time. The menu was simple. And we said, let's start this simple menu. We do schnitzel 6 different ways. We did a pork cutlet. So we did the schnitzel breaded or grilled, because that's all the equipment we had. We didn't have room for sauteing and anything else. And then we kind of evolved on this restaurant. We did it really simple. We were not open for dinner because the place we had was in a smaller city, and the people left the city and by 8 o'clock. It was dark. So we opened up at 11:30 and we served all the way to 8 o'clock PM. Cleaned up, we were done by 10. I went back home and did it all over again. We were closed one day a week, which was Monday. And Monday was my rough prep day. So we went in on Monday and just prepped out, cleaned if you need to do anything else. So that was my very first idea. And as we ran it, I realized the regular service didn't work because some people took a long time with the salad. Some of them were quick. Some of them just wanted to have it, you know, really quick because they were for lunch break. So for us, the challenge was, how can we do it consistently? And how can we do it in a way that we get people out the door pretty fast? So we had our mise en place done where we normally would cook a la minute. We cooked and like not pre-cooked, but we had the cutlets already breaded. I just need to fry them or saute them or pan fry them. What we did, we had the onions already cut. When we grilled the onions, the mushrooms, all the stuff we had for the side dishes. So we actually, in a way, now when I think back, we were almost like a fast food restaurant. I don't want to call it a fast food. It was like a fast casual because we had the prep done and I just needed to execute and serve. So the challenges with that was just not how can we get them out with speed? How can we do it consistently? And how can we do it so we retain customers? And at the time, you know, I competed against French cuisine, great French cuisine, where you had this, you know, 3-hour dinner. And then I competed against hotels locally, which all had restaurants in part of their facilities. So again, the challenge for me was, hey, how can I do it long term? Is this just going to be something I can do for 6 months, 8 months, and then I need to do something else? And our intent, as I said earlier, we want to change the menu quite often. But the menu was so popular that we changed the 6 component salads we had every day, but the dishes were the same, and that's all we did. And we were really lucky because it worked. And it worked for us because I had somebody who looked out for me for the location. The location wasn't perfect. Kitchen was small. We had 2 bathrooms, which was really small. The restaurant set 54 people. The outdoor, when we had outdoor furniture, which we bought in the summertime, we had to put him inside the restaurant because there was no room to leave him outside. It was just a mess. But it worked. And the biggest obstacle to overcome was myself. It was because I wanted to do more. I wanted to do some French things, but that's not what the market wanted. And at the time, we opened up a second and a third. And then in a few years, we had 6 of them. And it worked really, really well. So the unique strategies we had to overcome some of those challenges for me. That's a question we get all the time. For me was, I reached out to some of my really good friends, the people I can trust, which gave me honest feedback. And also at the time, I had this young gentleman, and at the time, I didn't know that he is going to be a lifelong friend and one of my mentors. But he always was the guy with saying, Christian, if the people like it, and if you can make money on it, why do you want to do something else? And if this works for you, why do you want to do a fancy restaurant with all this staff and all the stuff which comes with it? Now you get in early in the morning, but you get out and it's just you. You can control it. And for me, again, my biggest obstacles was me, because I wanted to do more. And it took me a very long time to realize to give the customers what they're looking for. People vote with their feet. And that was, for me, my biggest learning. And I still speak to it today. When I go into a marketplace or be looking at different restaurants for us to help them to get their products more streamlined or get more efficiency, I'm going back to what makes the chef unique. What are the dishes when they show up? I know exactly what the chef is all about. And if I do know the chef and I get the meal and I never had one, the meal is the confirmation of the chef is. So if you listening and you are a chef who wants to open up your first restaurant, do you. Don't do anything else. Do you. If you have a great way to make a schnitzel, make a great way to make a schnitzel. If you do an amazing way to have a burger, do an amazing burger. If you have a way to cook a fish a certain way, have it be you. Not just have it be you, have the food become an extension of who you are as a person, who you are as a professional, and how do you want to change the industry? And that took me a very long time to learn. And we had some really amazing stories from the beginning as we started out, customers coming in, laughing about the idea of the salad bar, absolutely loving it. And then we had people just come and eat the salad bar. And which eventually became our success, because that's what we sold and which made me come here to the US. Also, there was a few customers which we had to educate what we actually wanted to do here. And for them, it was simple. It worked. And Austria, especially the region of Austria I grew up, it's simple food. We call it peasant food. It's not something too great. As we did some more fancier dishes, it didn't really go as well as the thing we were known for. So I encourage you to do the same, because my key lessons learned was, do you like nobody else can. Service the customers the way nobody else can, and serve the community the way nobody else can. And for me, I was always a stickler that the front of the house looks great. And we power washed every morning before people came in, it sure it looked great. And we took care. And the community was super grateful for that, because that building was neglected. And I didn't know that before we took over. And then also that building kind of revitalized that part of the community. Even though people just came and hung out for 45 minutes to an hour to have their meals, it became a hub. And for me, as I'm telling this story in my mind, that's what we're doing with our online presence today. We're building a hub. We want to build a community where we can serve chefs the way nobody else can. The way we serve the community, nobody else can. And that also is how we can serve the people which want more out of life, more out of their career, more out of their business. Because I've been there. I've done that. And for me, the reason we give so much content away for free is because of Joseph, who gave me the opportunity for the first restaurant. He was also my landlord for a few more. And we were partners into more. And we all need somebody who sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. Listen to yourself. Listen to your gut. And don't share all of your dreams with your friends, because they're not you. Their dreams are different than yours. And even if they don't want to, they will hold you back, because they love you. They want to look out for you. They want to make sure you're safe. And they don't want you to fail. So for me, those were my key lessons learned. And pasta restaurant was never the fanciest restaurant, but it was known as consistent, great food, and the salad was amazing. And even then, we made some really cool dressings out of bananas for tomato salad and all the stuff we did. Now, we have a book out there, Salad Dressings, because I did not know 30 plus years ago that making those salads became one of our books. And then also that restaurant became my vehicle to come to the U.S. We were bought out. I came to the U.S., worked for that company for 18 years. And that started my career. But what I never lost was that sense of what can I do for an individual? What can I do for my team? And what can I do for the community? And that became my life motto. That's what we do, why we do what we do. And for me, the first 6 months probably was the hardest because I kind of learned on the fly. I didn't know how to be a front of the house manager, even though I was trained as a server. But there's more to it, being a front of the house manager and able to reach out to somebody who's really good at it, said, I help you for the first few weeks. And then when I feel like you know everything there's to know, I move on. And then also for me, having those relationships with my vendors, it kind of brings back why we run the day of GPO. Because at the time, 30 years ago, I never thought about that. We will run a GPO. But I went to the meat guy, I went to the produce guy, I went to these guys, and we cut deals. And me being there consistent, paying all the time, it was easy for me, and they loved it. I was able to build those relationships, and they looked out for me. And days, some, you know, when we had snow or anything else, people actually came and brought stuff to me and never charged me for it because I showed up consistently. I showed up for myself, and I showed up for the community. And for me, all of those things we just spoke about become life lessons. Because I talked about how I had to overcome my, I don't want to call it a disability, but my little challenge I had. Because I was 56% handicapped. And how is that for you? Where do you feel you need support around? Where are you not 100%? Or what are people telling you you can't do? Just go with your gut. Then also look for mentors. Look for somebody who sees in you what you don't see in us and yourself. And that was for me, Joseph, which helped me with the restaurants. And then reach out to the people which did what you want to do because they can help you learn the learning, shorten the learning curve. And then as you go through it and things don't really work for us, what we started at the time, and I do this today, and now as I'm sitting and telling story, that's why we have a planner. And as I'm telling the story, actually, for me, it comes together. All of the things we did at the time, I learned hard knocks. We have books about to support the marketplace. Because one thing we did at the time is, hey, guys, what do we do really well? What can we do better? Do we need to reposition the way the salads was? And at the time, we had the dressings in the back because our cooler, the salad bar, was the compressor was in the back. So they ran cooler than the front. But then they drizzled all over some of the other salads. So we moved it around and we just constantly try to make it better. And then we also changed the way we did service. So the moment the people sat down, I fired the meal because I knew they're going to be done. And before they were done, the meal was served. So every day we learned from the day before, and it's also another life lesson we're talking about here. It doesn't matter what you do. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you probably heard it said, and expect different results, it's not going to happen. So improve every day. And then take steps and actions on the new things you want to do. And for me, it became, I didn't know at the time I did this. It was because I had no other option. And that's the final lesson I want to share with you today. If you're passionate about something, if you feel you want to do something, don't listen to anybody else. Don't ask anybody else. Do what's right for you. Don't have a plan B. at a time. I didn't have plan B. And you probably heard it said, if you want to conquer the island, you need to burn the boats. My boats, I had no boats. So I needed to conquer the island. And it was hard work. My friends went out drinking and partying at the time at 19. I went home and sleep because I was tired. But if I look back, it was the most amazing time of my life. And I encourage you to do the same for what you want to do in your career. I encourage you to do the same for what you want to do in your business and your community. Because if this guy here can do it, and I wasn't the smartest person in the bunch, I made a ton of mistakes. And mistakes are only mistakes if you don't learn from it. Otherwise, it's opportunities to learn. And if there's one thing you get away from today's conversation, happy Monday, by the way, everybody. I want you to trust in yourself because nobody can do you better than you. And there's a lot of help out there for you to find out who you are, what you can do better than anybody else, and how to monetize on it. And that's what we do in our programs today. We help you to get clear. We help you to get paid. We want you to get, you know, people to talk about you, and we want you to get known. And that's what we do with all the program we do. So if you haven't done so, make sure if this resonated with you, share this with a friend, share it with a colleague. Also, like this episode if you found there was some value in that. And then also, if you could please, share it with a friend. And go to disruptivechef.club and join our private community, which is our community where we have these conversations twice a month. It's a community where the books I talked about, you can get them for free. If you like today's episode and you leave us a comment, we make sure you get a copy of our planner 100% for free. We email it to you. We created a digital version just for you listeners. And then also, if you haven't done so, make sure you go back and read or listen to some of the other episodes we had. The reason we're doing the Disruptive Chef is because we want to disrupt your thinking. We want to disrupt the way you do business and give you some new people which come into this format to share with you their learnings, the things they do, what makes them different. So with that, until next time, disrupt the kitchen, fire up your career, stay hungry for change. I'm Christian, the Disruptive Chef, entrepreneur, host. I'm signing off for the day. Be the change, be the challenge, and be the chef who sets the world on fire. We see you on Thursday.